I mean, it's a $600 toaster.
Well, it does heat up, so so you're not wrong.
Paul, we made a video about resin 3D printers a while back, a few months back. Now, a user by the name Copper Knight left a comment saying, most of the Apex Maker X1s that have been shipped are dead on arrival. This is a nightmare. We obviously forgot about Apex Maker. We talked about it. We forgot about it. We forgot that Kickstarter was around because we got busy just like everybody else. January, February, busy season. You wanted to buy the damn thing, and now we're looking at the comments, and it's a shit show.
I really, really wanted one myself, like, because it had, like, on paper, it had all the features I want, like, a gigantic build volume, like, a proper lid, the Wi-Fi, the heater, and everything. So I'm like, okay, on paper, this thing looks amazing, and especially, I think, at the Kickstarter price, I think it's, like, $1,400, like, that's a steal, like, nearly every other large format printer at that point was at least 2 to 3 times more expensive. So like this looked amazing. And I think that's what a lot of people on Kickstarter thought about it.
And now it's a dud. It's a dud. I mean, we went through the comments in the Kickstarter section. All right. So let's take a look at some of the Kickstarter comments here. And I mean, the problem started even way earlier. It seems like months ago, people were complaining about the fact that, hey, what about the shipping? How is the shipping going to be handled? Someone said that they had to pay $1,200 for just shipping the thing.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, just because, like, so I think a lot of people forget with 3D prints, especially with a resin one, they come fully assembled. So these things are massive. And then if you take something as big as, say, the Apex Maker, which is, from what I know, it's probably one of the biggest resin, like, consumer printers out there. Yeah. And it has to come assembled. It's not like a kit printer, like a Creality Ender 3 or like a CR10 or something like that, like where you put together. This thing is fully assembled. So this thing, from what I know, comes in a crate. So, yeah, like, it sucks, but I don't think Apex Maker took into account how much shipping costs. But yeah, it just sucks out that, you know, people who pre-ordered this basically got slapped with a shipping charge nearly as much as they paid for the printer itself.
It is ridiculous. And I mean, look, $1,300 USD to Australia. To Australia. I mean, I'm not an expert on supply chains and whatnot, but I thought that, and I think Apex Maker ships from China, so, I mean, it seems like a little bit of a more of a direct route to Australia, just south of there. $1,300 USD, it's the price of the entire printer.
Yeah, but I guess, like, yeah, like, all I can say is, like, they definitely didn't think about the logistics behind it, like, shipping, packaging. I think we're going to probably bump into a couple of comments as Scott is scrolling through the comments page. Yeah. There's probably going to be some comments of, you know, shipping damage, corners being bent, screws being stripped out or something like that, just because, you know, logistically, this thing's a nightmare.
Yeah, as you're saying it, Ronnie Jones, kudos to you for the comment here. 4 shear of bolts. the thing is on toothpicks, I think someone said. It's not properly packaged, it seems like. Probably wasn't even handled so well by UPS and FedEx. We know how those guys handle the packages. So as a maker of a 3D printer that costs $1,400, you want to invest time into packaging that stuff, into, you know, protective foam and everything in it. I mean, you and I were super excited about receiving the X1C, right? The Bamboo Labs, the package that it came in, and it was amazing. It was fully, fully wrapped. There was no movement whatsoever inside, and whatever pieces had to move, they were taped. And by the sound of it, and there's some videos on YouTube, folks, just Google, go on YouTube, watch. There's like 15 30-second videos as well. We'll probably add a link in the comments as well. But the fans are shaking. It is ridiculous.
Everything is rattling inside it, and it literally looked like someone, like when they put it together, they just like kind of took three or four screws, just like jabbed it in and called it a day.
Yeah, power wires that came off, and this was 20 days ago, right? People still don't know where the deliveries come from. And speaking of deliveries, like this is not you wanted to buy this printer on Kickstarter, right? And
yeah, I really wanted one.
Yeah, and you were like, should we spend the business money on it? And I was like, Kickstarter, I don't know. But like, look.
So you guys can tell who's in this pair, who's the business savvy one and who's the crazy one. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm the one who's business thinking. You're the one who's creative thinking. But like, we ship in two stages. This kind of a little bit surprised me as well, is that machine is sent to overseas warehouse first, and then it's shipped to Becker's address. While the first leg costs remain stable, the last leg costs depend on individual addresses. You can seek alternative options or arrange your own shipping. Is this normal? For some reason, I thought the maker, the producer, the manufacturer is supposed to handle the logistics for shipping a product.
I would say that's probably what most people expect. I mean, like, say you and I, if we order something, like, we expect, it's like, where it doesn't matter where it comes from. We expect it to come to our doorstep. We don't expect it to, I don't know, go to some warehouse, and then we have to deal with shipping from that warehouse to our, you know, our address. So that's pretty sus, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean,
but in their defense, not saying it should be a defense, but like, Scott, when you and I were actually trying to source some large printers, like really large printers or laser cutters, when we were talking to these companies, they usually say, hey, we only ship to a port, and then it's up to you to get it from the port to your doorstep. And I'm pretty sure, you know, like many companies who deal with this already have a process. But for yourself and myself, when we first heard it, we were kind of like, okay, or like, how do we do this? But
because maybe Toronto doesn't have a port. You and I are not driving to Montreal port or a Vancouver one for sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is crazy. And people are saying, like, I paid only 233 pounds, I guess, for more than half is the shipping cost. That was 4 months ago. I'm not sure if they're so happy with what they received afterwards. But it seems like the whole thing, well, obviously shipping nightmare. But then some people even bought two printers and both printers are damaged, right? It seems like things are just arriving broken as well. And let's not forget, obviously, this is a Kickstarter campaign, right? And you funded campaigns before. Let's talk about your experience with one of them as well in a bit. But you take the risk, right? You're essentially, when you're funding something, you are the guinea pig for them to figure out whether this thing works or not, and you're the first tester. So there is a risk. But I think this one appalled me, to be honest with you. Like, even the quality of the product itself, it doesn't look like, based on some few videos that are starting to come out, based on the comments, it doesn't even look like APX Maker would even try to make it right. It was just package whichever way, ship it for $1,000 on top of another $1,600 that you pay, and then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, like, that's kind of the risk of any Kickstarter. If I think the best rule of thumb with Kickstarter or any of these crowdsource funding platforms is, whatever you put in, just assume you're burning the money, because if you get a product, great. If it works, even better. But there are countless stories of people, like, they back something and either A, it never arrived, or B, it just came broken. Yeah. And then like as you said, Scott, like, I have already got burnt once by a Kickstarter 3D printer once. Yeah. So I don't know if you want to pull it up, because that's a fun story for me. So
before we go there, one question, right? 793 backers on this campaign. You were excited about it. You were like, resin printer, large format, this is fantastic.
Yeah, everything on paper.
Why did so many people get excited about it? What is the history of Apex Maker here? Is there a history?
So there's not much of a history. So like they're not an established company, say like Elegoo or Anycubic or Creality. They're kind of like a come out of nowhere type company. Maybe kind of like say Bamboo, for instance. They technically came out of nowhere. But basically, Apex Maker, when it came out, it was trying to fix all the problems that a lot of these popular resin printers had. So while like Elegoo and Anycubic, they make great overall resin 3D printers, they did have a lot of like little quality of life features that kind of irked some people. Like for example, some things that I personally don't like about say the Elegoo printers that we have is the lid. You always had to take it on and off. That's a small quality of life issue, but it's something that's really annoying if you're always having to take it on and off.
FYI, Paul always brings that up. It's a real issue for Paul.
It is. Like, we don't have a big office. So every time we have to, like, okay, we have like at least like 4 or 5 resin printers in our print farm. And every day we have to come in, take it on and off. Like, you have to put it somewhere, it becomes messy. It's a real pain. Like, once you have to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Apex Maker had a proper door on it. So, you save space. B, it's easier to get into. C, you don't make a mess all the time. It's small, but it works. There's also other small things like a resin heater inside it. So, if you're into resin printing, like one really, really important thing is to make sure that your resin is at a constant temperature. Most companies suggest that you stay within about 25 to 30 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. And then say you're printing in the garage or an office, you know, like maybe a non-heated office or something like that, you can actually have reliability issues with your resin if it's too cold. Having a resin heater is a great kind of little add-on that a lot of third-party companies are doing for the printers. I know, I think Anycubic just released a printer with a heater, which is great. Mm-hmm. But like Elegoo, one of the biggest names in the print in the space, still don't have a heater. And like these little quality of life issues made the Apex Maker like really, really, really like exciting. Also, it's huge. Like it says it has a 16-inch screen. At that time, the only companies that had screens that big were, I think it was like the Elegoo Jupiter or the Frozen Sonic like Mega. And those things were like $3,000 or something like that. Versus when this was kickstarted, it was like $1,400, $1,500. So there's a lot of things that got us really excited about it.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if I should blame the influencers, but there were people on YouTube promoting it as a great product. They probably received a good quality Apex Maker X1s, right?
Probably.
Because comments are saying like influencers were talking about it, and you know we're not going to name anyone, but go on YouTube, watch the videos from the last 5, 6, 7 months ago. You'll see folks being like, this is amazing, look at the print quality, look at what it came out, and then a dud once people start to receive them. It seems like a lot of folks were misled by, well, I don't even know if we can blame influencers in this case. Maybe they did receive a good quality machine and then Apex Maker didn't care after that.
It could be the case. So like,
yeah,
that's what we always say with Kickstarters, like wait till it comes out. If you can wait for it to come out. And then, so it either has some sort of support or you get it from a source that has, you know, a return policy, say like Amazon or something like that. To just make sure, you know, you protect yourself and your hard-earned cash.
Yeah, I feel bad for the backers. Received my printer, it arrived damaged and won't turn on. It's been months. Where's the updates? It has no visual damage. The touchscreen did not even light up. or show any sign it was active. It, you know, some folks might be like, it's shipping problem, right? It's UPS, FedEx is not handling it well. But then others are saying, like, there's no damage to it at all on the outside. So it's clearly manufacturer itself. But let's go back to your history of funding Kickstarters. The one that you funded was iFactory 1. What's up with that?
So I really liked Belt 3D printers. I still really do. And a Belt 3D printer is basically a 3D printer that can print infinitely on one axis. So in this case, it's the Y axis. So you can print very, very, very long things. Like one of the big things that got me into 3D printing was printing cosplay props, specifically swords. Yeah. And Belt printers, like, they're perfect for stuff like, say, swords, because you can just print it in literally one shot if you wanted to. The iFactory 1, this came out at a time when the Creality Belt 3D printer, so the CR30, just came out. And what this had over the Creality was it was bigger and it was cheaper than the Creality. So I was like, okay, this is perfect, because like this thing can print basically a gigantic sword. At that time, I was really into printing the Final Fantasy Buster Sword. And I'm like, this can actually fit an entire Buster Sword on it. I'm like, that's amazing. Yeah. And I think I paid about, I think it was about $1,000 for it. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was, you know, a great deal. It's basically, I think that like I had the same thoughts of everyone who was back in the Apex Maker X1. I was like, oh, this is a great value. This has everything I wanted. Yeah. But when it came, just like the Apex Maker, there was damage, quality control issues. Things weren't just working out of the box. Like I think by the time I got fed up with it, like I think I threw an extra $1,000 worth of parts into it, trying to make this work. And in the end, I was like, okay, you know what? This isn't worth it. And I basically had to scrap it for parts at the end. Yeah. And I like, if you go on, say, the Facebook page for this printer or any of the forums, you'll get a very similar story. It's like, on paper, this thing is amazing, but there are so many quality of life issues, quality control issues, that it basically made it like worthless.
Well, Facebook pages were closed. The forum on the website was closed. The print quality out of the box is meh. And it's still shipping? That was a month ago. What's going on here? I've been promised for a year now that I will get a refund. Well, where is that printer right now?
Parts of it are living in other printers. The frame, I think, is in a closet somewhere. I basically just stripped it for parts.
Don't let good parts go to waste, even though the whole thing is in the bin, can go to the bin. Spare parts into your Voron or something. Build something out of it. Well, I feel bad for the backers. I mean, we obviously all understand whenever we fund Kickstarter campaigns is that you're taking a risk, but it's a $1,500, $1,400, $1,600 printer. And when you receive something that clearly was not even cared for, like the packaging is, you know, it's not there. Is it just nothing even there to protect the printer, and the screws are loose and the quality of everything is just falling apart? I don't know if I can blame the backers. I mean, you and I are thinking of launching a Kickstarter campaign. We're not for a printer, but we're thinking to do it for a miniature business. That's a kind of a side gig outside of that. We are just thinking through everything. How do we make sure that the models don't break? How do we print the box where they're protected and then add a foam on top of that? Do we produce something manufactured foam custom to our miniatures, right? Stuff like that. I mean, and then someone just ships a $1,600 printer for an extra $1,000 and it's all damaged. Feel bad for the guys. Sorry to those who had to go through this copper night. Hopefully you're going to recover some of your money. I think they should definitely try to do a chargeback if they can on their credit cards. I always buy with my Amex if I buy anything. Those Emacs seem to be very good at protecting the end user. Not a promotion of Emacs, but if Emacs wants to sponsor us, we're always open to chat. That being said, I mean, it's a $600 toaster.
Well, it does heat up, so so you're not wrong.
That's a good way to say it. $600 toaster, and it does heat up.
$1,600 toaster, not $600,
$1,600 USD. If you are in Canada, there are about 20 something backers from Canada. You just paid $2,000 Canadian for that.
I'm actually curious for our Canadian listeners, how much did you actually pay for shipping for this? Because
yeah.
Scott said like it was like $1,200 for say Australia. So yeah. I probably imagine it's probably pretty bad here in Canada as well.
Yeah, and folks, I don't mean to laugh. I'm just sad. I am sad about the fact that I think it destroys trust in a way. Towards Kickstarter, it's obviously nothing new. Things like that happen all the time. But manufacturers who do have opportunity to launch their own products use Kickstarter as a way to avoid responsibility in many cases as well. We've noticed that big brands go on Kickstarter, fund their ideas, and then just kick off products that are complete garbage. I think that just shows badly on the community as a whole, and we're kind of big fans of Kickstarter. We do like to support actually small, you know, companies, you know, individual creators who use Kickstarter as a way to fund their campaigns. Screws the big guys. They shouldn't be using Kickstarter.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? Put it on your website. Just share on social. Spend some advertising dollars. Why are you tapping into Kickstarter? I don't know. Anyone feels different, let us know in the comments. We are obviously not hardcore Kickstarter users. We buy some things from time to time. Paul burned a couple $1,000s on Kickstarter campaigns, so we do feel the pain that you feel. But I really feel like Kickstarter is an opportunity for small makers, creators, you know, folks who do not have large, deep pockets to actually get that initial funding to get started and then build a brand. And that was probably the case with Bamboo, right? Bamboo yeah. Lab.
Like that's how they originally released their X1. They exactly. released on Kickstarter, and it actually turned out to be an amazing printer, which like at this point, it's not just, oh, it's a great printer. It's everyone is trying to make their own Bamboo printer now. So
yeah,
you can get some good things out of it. Like, it's just, it seems like, you know what, it's been a gamble. I think it's always will be a gamble. So,
yeah.
As you know, like my, our rule of thumb is whatever you put on Kickstarter, just be prepared to burn that money. So,
yeah, I don't know that $1,600.
That's a lot to burn. So I hope, yeah. you know, I hope there's a way to get that money back, because I would be very, very sad if I lost that much money.
Yeah, and it seems like this issue is, I mean, Apex Maker is based in China, but then the iFactory,
yeah, that one's based off in Germany. So
yeah,
like just because it's backed by a Western brand doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be, you know, a surefire win. So
yeah. So folks, lessons, try to protect yourself. Do your, I guess, as much research as you can. Acknowledge the fact that you're taking risks. We almost jumped into it. We almost bought it. Paul was super excited. I wasn't excited.
I was super excited. Literally, the only reason why I got stopped is because Scott was like, no, you're not using the company credit card on this.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm all for Kickstarters, but I don't know. That seems expensive. And we could spend money on something else, right? And we wanted to see how this Kickstarter works out. And for us, we just got lucky, honestly. And I feel bad for Copper Knight. And once again, hopefully you guys are able to recover at least some of the funds. And if you, whatever you have feedback, whatever experience you have with Apex Maker, leave a comment below. Let us know. I mean, you can see that we read those comments. We like to make videos based on the comments coming from the community. So it would be amazing to get real-time feedback, news on what you're seeing, and then maybe we can even bring some folks in and have a conversation about it, you know, chat if we can reach them, obviously. That would be an interesting video to make as well. But definitely feel for you. I feel sad that things like that are happening in 3D printing community. Obviously, it feels like Apex Maker is taking advantage, or took advantage and didn't put much care into it, which is very sad. That being said, there are products like Bamboo Lab who launched it, done it right, made something amazing, and probably, fair to say, revolutionized the industry in many ways. And when you compare Bamboo Lab to Apex Maker or iFactory, there are duds out there. And sometimes you get a Bamboo Lab, sometimes you get a toaster. And that's it. Yeah, it still hits up. So that's it, folks. Subscribe, comment, like. Dislike, let us know what your experience is, and we look forward to having conversation with you. We look forward to hearing from you. And in the meantime, between this video and the next, make sure that you check out 3dgearzone.com, where we publish reviews of printers, and it's all first-hand experience. We're not influencers, don't want to be influencers. If something works, we tell you it works. If something doesn't, we tell you it doesn't. All our reviews are genuine. 100% human written, no AI. We are old fashioned, no AI. But folks, subscribe. See you on the other side.